Praise ye the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy and no joy forevermore. No, so we thank you. We are feeling that joy and we are enjoying it right now. In your presence, the fullness of joy. And our last and our pleasures forevermore. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Lord, thank you for the sweet, sweet fellowship we are having in the Lord this morning. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Now, Lord, as we read your word this morning, Lord, bless the reading of thy word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, this word of God is a lamp unto our feet, is a light unto our path. Therefore, shall we never walk in the darkness? Gross darkness is covering the heart, darkness upon the heart, and gross darkness is people. But because we have the Lord Jesus, we have the light of life. Help us to help others to come out of the darkness of this world and to the light, the glorious light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Whatever time we have left on this earth, Lord, for before the coming of the Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. A very short text this morning. Satan exposed. Satan exposed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Where the devil is adept at distorting, this type what he does, distorting, twisting, and misinterpreting scripture and using it for his own purposes. So he will twist, he will misinterpret, and also, you know, for his own purposes and so on, deceiving God's people and so on. Not only does he do it to believers, but even did it to the Lord, you know, in the temptation. And let's talk about that a little bit and so on. Even did it to the Lord in the temptation and so on. Remember that temptation, the second one, in this temptation, Satan misquoted Psalm 91, right? Psalm 91, verse 11. By craftily omitting the very essential words to key thee in other ways. He let us out, you know. So, and this phrase that he left out, you know, are practically a norm for the proper understanding of the old text. Here is what, you know, he said in Luke 4:9, and we talk about what the Bible says in Psalm 91:11. And here is what he said. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself from them. That's why he stopped, you know. And, you know, for it is written, verse 10 says, he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, let out that your foot against a stone. But Psalm 91:11 says this, for he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He let us one out. Why? So, well, the Lord did not go into arguing with him about the fortifying of the scripture. The Lord just told him what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 6:16. No doubt shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Many things happen around the Lord Jesus Christ. Some call it the temptation of the fourth dimension. Some people say, of the fourth dimension. What's that? Well, many things were around the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he get to the pinnacle of the temple? How did the devil accompany him there? How did that happen, you know? Like I said, many things happened around the Lord. It couldn't just be an imagination, because for one thing it is, if it is in the spirit, it's people cannot be hurt by a fall, right?
Yeah.
They have to be there physically, right? How did he get there? Some call it the temptation of the fourth dimension. There are many, many things around the Lord Jesus Christ being deity. And, so we cannot understand all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But, many things happen around him. So, in this particular temptation, any attempt for him to reach the ground below by any means outside of those suggested by a correct understanding of nature's law. Not just gravity, right? Any attempt to do another thing like that, will be outside of God's protective means that he gave to man and things like that, you know, to the outside of God's protective measure, you know. Satan twisting the scripture. I want the Lord to do something so people will heal him, you know. And I don't need your help. Satan to do any of those things, you know. So, for example, later on, the Lord will do many things without him like that. Many, many times. Maybe you call it the fourth dimension, what you call it, and so on. When he preached, they want to throw him down at the brook of the ear. He just passed in their knees, right? Without Satan being there. Praise God. You know, at one time. So, the Lord doesn't really violate the law that he has created unless there is a need for it. Amen?
Amen.
Much more they would do for Satan. Praise the Lord. Amen. Talking of, breaking his own law or natural law, maybe to help somebody or to save life. And we have an instance of it in the Bible in John chapter 6, how the Lord defined gravity, right? You know, so first of all, in John 6:16, he has fed the 5,000 already, and they want to take him forcibly and to make him king, you know. And the Bible says, in that chapter, when the Lord saw that, he just went to the mountain top alone, leaving the disciples alone to go and pray, right? He just left them. My kingdom is coming, not right now, you know. So anyway, and the disciples went to the sea, in John 6:16. And when even was come, his disciples went down into the sea. He had gone to the mountain alone to go and pray and so that, you know, in the previous verses. And enter into a ship, the disciples did, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, the Bible says, and Jesus was not come to them. Talking about many things around Jesus, if need be, he will overrule the laws. Natural law. If there's a need for it, right? Doesn't do it for a show. Praise the Lord. So anyway, at the sea, verse 18 says, at the sea arose by reason of a great wind, that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, talking about 3 to 4 miles, that's what it means, if you take 8 furlongs for a mile, they see Jesus walking on the sea. That defines gravity, right? You have to do that to walk on the sea, walking on the sea. And they draw nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid, amen? Praise the Lord, he's always saying that. So today, saying that to you, in your life, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land. Yes. And it goes down about 3 or 4 miles immediately. So there are two defy gravity by walking on water. Even the old boat and the continent immediately defy gravity and was on land 3 or 4 miles. Praise the Lord. So we're calling for dimension, and of course, after his resurrection, many things happen. Behind closed doors, he will appear before the disciples, right? And even, you see, they talk about fourth dimension too, but they don't know what they are talking about, really, you know. As you are sitting here now, you are triune. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body, right? You know? Now, like I said, even the nearest star to us, it takes years for that light to reach us. But you sitting here, in your mind, you can go to any part of the universe now. You sitting down here, you can think of Mars now, and your mind is there, right? And the time is coming, when we are changed, into its likeness and so on. We can be anywhere. That, by the way, praise the Lord. The thing is this, so it won't do anything for the devil and so on. So, the thing is this, Satan twisted the word. Either he take away from the word, or poverty, or add to it to deceive the people. So that will happen right here and so on. So the one effective way of meeting the malicious attacks, of Satan in twisting the scripture is for us to be students of the word ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's how to read the word of God. That's one way to relay, destroy and to make of none effect is attacks of twisting the scripture and distorting. You have to know the scripture yourself, So that's why you have to be students of the word. And use the word, the Bible called the sword of the spirit, as weapons of defense and offense. Praise the Lord. Yeah, God's word, Bible called it the sword of the spirit. Later on we talk about it too, you know. So you have to know the scripture, you know, so as a means of weapons of defense and offense against him. When we do that, the devil has no option. He must give way and be routed completely. That's what the Lord did to him. It's written. When he fortified, you know, and so on, the Lord will tell him, he straighten him out and so on. We have to defeat him all the time with the word of God. Now, at other times, talking about exposing Satan, right? So we are saying that he will distort the scripture. That's when we are in how it works, right? Either misquote it or distort it or twist it and so on to do so he can deceive the people, you know. Now, at other times, Satan, by misinterpretation of or twisting the scriptures, has made many to believe that he is what he is not really. To make the Christian to think that Satan is what he is not by deception and twisting the scriptures. I can give examples right now. One such scripture is in 1 Peter 5:8, whereby he has made many to believe that he is a roaring lion, for example, you know. See, people you see, say he's a roaring lion, you think he's a roaring lion. That's what the scripture says. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Never say he's a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. That's what the Bible says. Walketh about, seeking who he might devour. The Bible says, who resists steadfast in the faith. If it's a lion, and so how can you resist a lion, you see? So anyway, so distorting the Bible or the scripture, so he can deceive people. So he will think that people think that he's a lion, right? So that's one of the ways, you know, he treats the scripture and misinterprets it to people and so on, so he can deceive them. So we see that we must not forget that the scripture tells us that the devil is the matter of deception. The Bible says so, right? No, and let's look at Revelation 12, the 9th verse. Bible says that the devil is a master of deception. Talking about exposing Satan, right? You know, so now, we are exposing him. What he does, he will twist the scripture, or misquote it, or misinterpret it, and so on. The end thereof is to deceive. So anyway, so Revelation 12, 9 says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And did he begin to do it yesterday or today? No, right from the beginning. Even right from the garden. What did the Bible say? The man, Adam, was not deceived, right? There was a deception in there. The woman, based interpretation, was deceived, right? So he began right from the beginning. He's a liar and father of lies. And he still has it today. Even to the very end, in the book of Genesis at the beginning, was a deceiver. Right to the end, Revelation is still a deceiver. Can't change, it's incorrigible, right? You know, anyway, so we must not forget the Lord's warning that Satan, using false Christ and false prophets, is capable of deceiving those who let down their guard. You have to be very careful. Matthew 24:24, we are told, the Lord himself warning his people, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, look at the next verse. Behold, I have told you before, the Lord warning his children, much more so at this end of the age, wherein you and I are living. It becomes very, very more important. Don't forget, Matthew 24 is a chapter in the Bible, where the Lord told about the end time, they have asked him, the man's only discourse, they call it, both Matthew 24 and then Luke 21, they know, where shall these things be? What shall be the signs of your coming? What shall be the end of the world? That's when he told us all these things, right? Deception is one of the most things that Satan will use, even though we use, because at the end of the age. So we must be aware that Satan's greatest power is his ability to trick God's people by manipulating their imagination. He will do it too. And even as far as imagination is concerned, the Bible gave us a stern warning of what to do if it comes to you, you know, it comes to me, but we are given what to do about it, you know. So the Therefore, you must always be on guard, ready to cast down every false image he sends your way. As the scripture has said in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it is so important, imagination and so on, how you can manipulate it. He will send you imagery to deceive and so on. Let's read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10. So important, the Bible put it there for us as a weaponry, you know, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. They will come like that, you know, and so on. Casting down imaginations. They will come to you. You're warning yourself, well, what do I do with it? And so you come to everybody. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagination and all that, you know. But how to do it by then? Casting down imaginations and every item that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you know, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. How to deal with imagination comes to everybody, you know, just daydreaming and all kind of nasty things and lying and things like that, you know. Just cast them down. The Bible says you can do it. And so, that's it. Now, no matter what the popular opinion about Satan may be, you understand by the word of God that he is nothing more than a defeated foe. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter how he brags or how people try to magnify him and so on, God's word tells you and now that he's a defeated foe. The word of God tells us that rather than being all powerful, as people will think, you know, exposing Satan now, Satan is actually super weak as far as the Christian is concerned. Who knows his standing in Christ? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Christian who knows his right, Satan is actually super weak, you know. The word of God has revealed Satan's bleak future to us. We saw the time. Tell him about his future, amen? He knows it too. Let us see some of his future and so on. He has a bleak future. You know, in Revelation, the first, he is headed to that awful place called the bottomless pit. He's heading there. Revelation 21, let's read that now. And I saw an angel came down from heaven, exposing Satan, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. He's a deceiver. Deception, that is his power really. That's the only power he really has, you know. Deception. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. Now, notice one thing there. Not a legion of angels has to take him to put him on the speed. Just one angel. Amen? Can you see how weak he is now? I'm telling you right now. One of those faithful angels who refuse to be deceived. Even deceive a son of the angel. Deception, right? That is the power that he has. You know? So one of those faithful angels who refuse to believe him and so on. Just one of them. Not a legion. No, the Lord said, by the crucifixion, if I will, I can have the Father that will send me a legion of angels. That even as far as Lucifer is concerned, just one angel is put in the bottomless pit. What will happen? Praise the Lord. So where is the power of the devil and so on? We're going to talk more. Exposing. You see, telling it as he is and so on. So that's what the Bible says about him and so on. So one angel got the job done. And finally, at the end of the golden age, by the golden age, I mean the millennial reign of Christ, when it's all over. That's 1,000 years. What happened to him and so on? Man will institute a rebellion when Satan is loosed from his prison house. As soon as he's released from the bottom of the sea, man, through Satan again, will bring up a rebellion again against God. You know, can you see that? It happened. And Satan will be punished by a summary destruction. We are exposing him now. So why should God be afraid of him? I say he's super weak as far as the Christian is concerned. Revelation 27 says so. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And the fire came down, from God, out of heaven, and devoured them. That will be the last act of man before the white throne judgment, the end of man. And before the white throne judgment, that is the end of man. And also Satan too, before the white throne judgment, the rebellion and so on, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The false prophet and so on, they have been there for 1,000 years, right? Mm-hmm. So now, those who have said that no hair or whatever or the temporary thing, now they are liars, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So we see right there. Now, can you imagine, after Christ has ruled this world for 1,000 years, and Satan is loose, man is able to be deceived there, and he rebels again, and so on that, why will God let him do that? This is the purpose. For 1,000 years, this world knew peace when Christ was reigning, right? Even a child will die 100 years old, right? So, Bible says so, right? Now, those people who were living at that time, this 1,000 years and something now, they have to be tested like any other generation. Praise the Lord. Because in the ages to come, God won't permit a soul who will rebel in those ages to come anymore. Praise the Lord. So they must be tested and so on, just like we are tested in this age. Every age is tested, right? So they will be tested also and so on. And that's why the Lord allows us to be loose again and to tempt them again to see to whatever is shaking, let it be shaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
That which is shaken, let it remain. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why. Don't confuse the Magog here with Armageddon. Armageddon, where it's a type of this one, but it's a different one really, So just by the way, so it's a deception, Christ has lived for 1,000 years. He's able to deceive, that's the only power he has. He's able to deceive them. But he was summarily completely destroyed according to the word of God right there. When some will say, but the devil did and still does read damage to Christians. And we know that, he does. How does he do it then? They ask, have not many Christians suffered many losses at the hand of Satan? I'm saying that this man is super weak, right? But only to the Christians who don't know their lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking, no, you say you're super weak. No, have not Satan, tormented many Christians and suffered many losses and so on. Christians did in his hand. Many lives torn off, jobs lost by Satan's attack and things like that. Or even precious children led off into sin and so on like that. Right? Last question. And you say he's super weak? Yes, he is. Let's see what happens. And people ask, how did Satan, a defeated foe, that I'm calling him, because all these tragedies, how can he cause all these tragedies to God's people? The answer is simple, and the Bible has the answer for that. How, if he's so pleased by me, how can he do it, cause these tragedies to God's people now? Well, the Bible has the answer. As amazing as it may seem, the saints of God are the ones who have been systematically increasing the devil's ability. So God's children were systematically increasing the ability of the devil to hurt them. Whether we know it or not, the Bible says so. So how have they done it, God's people? Simply by constantly speaking of how powerful the devil is. You see? And people, they will just be talking, devil, a little bit, the devil did this, devil does that, and so on. They talk so much about the devil that they do about God himself, That's one way they give him power back to hurt us. So what they do, what happened? The Bible is fulfilled in Mark 11:23, negative or positive, right? You will have whatever you say. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So be careful what you say. If you can't speak, because what? Better keep quiet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every thought If you don't say it, they die unborn. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. Any kind of ugly thought or whatever it is, if you don't confess with your mouth, they die unborn. Keep quiet, you know. So anyway, so when you say devil does that, devil, that might what you are saying. So you are giving him power by talking about things like that and so on that, you know. So he bragged himself and you're giving back the power that he has lost. The devil's strength is being restored by the word of many misinformed Christians. That simple, you know. So the devil's strength is being restored by the words of many misinformed Christians. They do it because Satan has carefully blinded them with one of the biggest cover-ups of all time. You know, I say cover-up, yes? Cover-up. You know, even in the beginning, talking about cover-up, right? We are told that before his fall, Satan was the anointed cherub that covered it, right? Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 28:14 says so. He was a covering cherub. Ezekiel 28:16. So he does cover up too, he covered the throne of God. He does many other cover ups too, apart from that, you know. However, since Satan's fall, he has become the prince of darkness, who is running a giant cover up. I will talk about some of them just right now, you know. Falling as some of the powerful biblical truths, Satan does not want you and I to know, doesn't want the Christians to know. Talk about three or four of them. Number one, Satan wants to cover up the fact that you, as a child of God, belong to a superior species than himself. See? So, I say you belong to a superior species than Satan himself right now. God created Satan in what? In the angelic class. But a child of God, you are now in God's class. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I said you belong to the God's class. Mm-hmm. So, and Satan is of the angelic class. And even worse now, after his fall, he belongs to a doomed class called fallen angels. See? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's who he is now, exposing him. Let's talk about, you know, he'd be a doomed class called fallen angels. Isaiah 14:12 says this. How are thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer? That's who he has fallen. He's a fallen angel. He's a fallen being. You know? And the son of the morning, how are thou cast down to the ground with this wicked nation? So it's a fallen angel, you know? So I'm telling you, it's weaker than wicked when you know your life, as one of us, you know? So we see right there. As a Christian, you are now part of God's plan. You are part of God. Let's put some scripture behind that right now to refresh our memory, you know, about these things, but who we are in Christ. John 15:5. See? I am the vine and ye are the branches. Can you imagine how integrated we are with Christ? You see, the Lord say, himself says, I am the vine. You and I, Christian, you are the branches. Can you separate the branch from the tree? You know? Only the branches not abiding the vine can be separated, but we are in him, right? Even more, in 1 John 4:4, we are of God, little children, amen? We are of God, you see? So we are of the most superior species, God's class. We are in God's class right now. He made us to be so. So in 1 John 4:4, we are of God, little children. Then verse 6 is, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. So you are of God. You know, he's not in our class. He's a fallen being, you know, and so on that, you know. He's a fallen angel, you know, it's a fallen being. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see, that's who you are. Now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, see, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:16 tell us the same thing. You are in the class of God. You know, Satan is a fallen being, and so on that, you know, it's weaker than wicked as far as a child of God who knows his right are. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then hear of God and joined here with Christ. All that God has belong to you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, one more about that we belong to God in Ephesians 5:30. For we and members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's who you are in Christ, you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just enough scripture to just show you who you are, and there are tons of them. Now, what I'm talking about here, pass by biblical truth. Satan does not want you to know. Number two, he doesn't want you to know, he tries to cover up the fact that your power, you know, as a son or daughter of God, is far, far greater than whatever power he thinks he has. I'll just give one scripture in 1 John 4:4, where I'm reading. I don't know if I get that scripture right here. 4:4. Yes, where? No. It says, greater is he, that's right. Greater is he, meaning the Lord Jesus, that is in you, than he that is in the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who is the God of this world? Satan, right? And Christ is in you. God is telling you, and of course we know that, greater is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in you, than the devil is in the world. So, amen. When we think on these things, and meditate upon them, there is no mountain you cannot conquer. You see? So that, how we set our mind. So that I want that you remember this kind of scripture, when it torments, so it can torment people, you know, and God's children. So anyway, another thing, another powerful scripture, you know, that Satan wants to know is this. Satan's cover up, the third one is this, is to convince you that you are supposed to be living under his feet, as if you are to be under his feet to oppress you and so on. You want to do that to you and I. But what said the scripture? Just the opposite. The devil is supposed to be living under your feet. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When? Look at the Bible. Malachi, I get a couple of that. In Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It's not you be under his feet. It's Satan be under your feet. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Who are these? They that fear the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You are here because you fear the Lord, amen?
Amen.
You can be in the bar now, you can be anywhere, but because you love the Lord, we are here in the congregation of his people, amen?
Amen.
So we love the Lord. Praise God. The Holy Ghost has shared God's love abroad in your heart. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
No matter even love God by himself, but the Holy Ghost has shared God's love abroad in our heart. So this is for you right now. That's who you are right now. So you see, and go forth and grow as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. See that one?
Mm-hmm.
God has done it. No, Christ says it's finished, right? It was prophecy here. Prophecy already fulfilled. When Christ died and rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. See? Now, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be arches under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, said the Lord of hosts. Psalm 91:13 says so. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. All those things, the lion here, they are all representation of one form of the devil or demon or one or the other of them and all that, you know. So anyway, so right there under your feet, even in Luke 10:19, the Lord expanded on that scripture in Psalm 91. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. So where is the devil's power? He has given you and I power over all the power of the enemy. No matter what he can come up with. But we must know our life and use it, you know, as God has given it to us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the power the devil has is the one we gave him by not using what we already have, you know, that God has given unto us. Now, another of Satan's cover-up is the misinterpretation of what the Lord said in John 10:10. And let me read that verse to you. The Lord said here, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord said, now Satan, by manipulating the people and their minds, so the popular interpretation of this verse is that the chief is the devil. That's what they are thinking. I say whatever to you. Even many, many Christians, maybe I did it before in the past too, have told us millions of times that the devil has the ability to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Maybe I've done it myself before. But the devil, you know, the devil can kill you and all these kind of things. Is that really the truth? Is that the truth? For the biblical viewpoint, I don't think so. So let's see what happens. Unless really allow him to do and so on. If the devil has such power to kill and so forth, then the church is in a heap of trouble, isn't she?
Yeah,
that's right. If they are about to kill, then we are the way there. Then we are in great trouble. So the thief, really, in actuality, take into context what the Lord is saying here. The thieves and robbers of John chapter 10 are the hireling shepherds, as the following verses clearly identify him. Talking about James 10:10. So the thief and something like that, you know. So I'm saying that if he can just kill, then, the Christian, we are in trouble. But in the context of the art world, not really. In John 10:12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because it is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. So, you see what happened is this. Yeah, Satan is implied. And in that parable, is the wolf actually, praise the Lord. He is the wolf because the hireling shepherd, they run away, right? What are they running away from? The devil, right? So that's right. So, but to come and say that the devil is not a killer and something like that, not really, you know. So, because I will show another scripture right now that tell us that the devil and so on, shouldn't be able to kill you unless we allow him to do it and so on. So Satan is the wolf from whom the thieves, and these thieves are the hireling shepherds. That flee from the sheep and leaving the sheep in its mercy. So as the church continues to speak recklessly of Satan as killing, stealing and destroying, we actually give him such power. For every Christian has the power to release death or life. You know, within your own tongue, Proverbs 18:21 says it, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Then again, back to what we say, we have to be careful what we are saying and so on that, you know. So, Satan has skillfully covered up the real meaning of this verse, causing us to resupply him with the ability to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What is the truth, really? The truth is this. In Hebrews 2:14, to show you that, look, it ought not to be so. The truth is that the Lord has stripped Satan of his power to kill when he died and rose again for the dead. Praise the Lord. That's right. Hebrews 2 tells me that, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, meaning the Lord Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had, I always say it all the time, that had the power of death, as is the devil. That, he said, as, not have, Satan no longer have the power of death anymore. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I say the Bible says that God has, the Lord has stripped him of the power of death. Even in Revelation, I don't have that one here. The Bible says, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death itself. Amen? Amen. Satan doesn't have the keys of death anymore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why don't begin to confess if Satan's key and all that. But people give him the power by negative confession. That Proverbs 18:21 says, in the tongue, the power of life and death is in there. Don't confess those kind of things. Let us say what the Bible says and so that, you know, and then all is well. Anyway, let's move on now. We're exposing Satan, right? Armed with this truth, brethren, we talked about this morning, it should become much easier for you and I to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17 says so. We are to reign and rule on this earth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that Satan doesn't have the power to kill you. Amen?
Amen.
Unless you let him do it, you know, you can't do it. You don't have that power unless you give it to him by negative confession You know, I thought of that, you know. Now, for the word of God promises that once you know that Satan does not have the power to kill you, that knowledge will break his bondage over you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Even the same text in Hebrews 2:14 says so, the 15th verse says this. Now, and deliver them who, through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Read the two together, both 2:14 of Hebrews. I will say it many times here this morning, and then verse 15. So, you know, Bible says you to have the power, no longer have it anymore. The Lord has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And now deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You're no longer in bondage when you know that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Satan has no power to kill you. Amen? It's that simple. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ disarmed Satan and broke the chains of bondage he had on you or me. You are now free to do and be all that God intended for you and me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Bible talks of the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We are in that age now. Praise the Lord.
So
we are in that age now as we take our position by faith. Everything with God is by faith. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You hear God's word, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And it shall be so. Praise the Lord. And with God, all things are possible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, scripture teaches us that it is God's plan for you to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, you must understand that our Lord is not going to share his rulership with a Satan-dominated Christian. Amen?
Amen?
You must know your right and take it. And that's why he told us, in Revelation 2:26, those who are going to rule with him are not going to be Satan-dominated Christian who are still be fearing death and Satan killing you and all that kind of thing. You don't be like that, you know. Let's see Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shiver, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what is being said unto these churches. So I'm saying that the Lord is going to rule with the overcomer. See? And we thank God how to overcome him, not by ourselves, see? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, amen, which is the word of God. Praise the Lord. So the Bible and exhort all in all the seven churches, Asia, so on, the overcomer. As it says, you overcome too, as I overcame. Amen. That is God's will for you and I. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let's plant this truth deep in our heart this morning. With the Lord's death on the cross and his resurrection, the Lord destroyed every power the devil had over you and I. Amen?
Amen.
It's done. Not as it's done, it's done already. And 1 John 3:8 says that, for this purpose, Bible says, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's already finished, you know. And arm yourself with the truth that Satan is a defeated foe. Don't ever forget it. He is powerless as long as we don't allow him to tap into our power, the power of God in your life and in my life, exposing Satan. What I'm talking about this morning, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, following is one of the things that the Holy Ghost comes to do in your life and in my life. One of the missions of the Holy Ghost in John 16:8. And when he is come, meaning the Holy Ghost, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jump to the 11th verse. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What does that really mean? The word judged in that verse is a Greek word, krino, K-R-I-N-O. And it means to separate, to put asunder, to break in pieces. Now, What that judge means? Say the prince of this world, this judge, is broken into pieces by our Lord Jesus Christ. All it means in the Greek, you know. So part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to convince the church now. You know, we had a hard time doing it in the life of many of us, right? To convince the church that the Lord Jesus Christ has crushed the devil, literally broken him into pieces. When he says judge, right? He starts to convince you and I. The Holy Ghost comes to do that in our life and so on. Let us give heed to the Holy Spirit and so it is done. Now, following our more scriptures that further prove the devil's total defeat, which we should be reminded ourselves, I already quoted 1 John 3:8, and I read it again. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, now, the word destroy literally means to melt or render irreparable. That's what the Lord has meted to the devil and so on. Don't even forget the Bible says, in the garden, right, for the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, talking and so on, that wicked one, the seed of the woman, I mean, the serpent, will bruise his heel. He will bruise his head, right? Anyway, so irreparable, that's what it means, destroy. The wonderful news is that the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed the devil. That's the wonderful news, right? We pray that the church be fully convinced by the Holy Ghost that the Lord Jesus Christ totally destroyed the devil when he rose again from the dead. Praise be the Lord. Just as Christ has said, you know, it's done. But, see, now, another scripture that is often misquoted, or misunderstood rather, and thus give the devil, or give an impression that the devil has all power in this scripture, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, people misunderstand that scripture, and I want to read it, giving the impression that Satan has all power. Not really. It says 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. See that phrase there? And signs and lying wonders, you know, and with all, watch now, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see? Now they are saying that Satan has all power. He didn't say that. He didn't say that in that part. So, however, a closer examination showed that, you know, that once again, Satan has only one power, the power of deception. That is what he's saying, that verse altogether. The power of deception. Does he have all power? That verse didn't say that he has all power. No. The scripture is not saying Satan has all power, but simply that all the power the devil has is the power to deceive and bring forth lying wonders. See? What he's saying right there, you know? But I put it in the heart of many Christians. Think that Satan has all power. No, he doesn't have all power. Now, the thing is, you know, this morning, very short. God has given you and I dominion over the adversary. Amen? Amen. God has given you and I dominion over the adversary. You must lose them. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the scripture. There are many of them. Just pick a choice sample of them here, including this morning, exposing the devil. You know, if we let this thing sink into us, I don't see how we will not be an overcomer. Amen. Mm-hmm. Knowing that the concept that the devil has the power to kill and to steal and destroy is flawed. We show that it's a flawed. I mean, it's not the truth, you know. It's flawed. If we know that, then we must now fix our attention on the ultimate power God has given you and I to overthrow the devil and unmask all his deception. Colossians, I read a couple of scriptures here this morning, you know, are the power and dominion God has given you and I over the adversary, you know. You can sit here all day long to read them, but I just pick a few of them as the Lord led. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. That's who you are, by partaker. Who has delivered us, Jesus delivered us, from the power of darkness. What is the power of darkness? What is the power now? Deception. Amen? That's all he has left now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, that power, that's all he has left now. Power to deceive. We saw the book of Revelation from the beginning to the end. You are the head of the millennium. What is the, what part does he have? So deceive. That's it, you know. Anyway, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. These are Bible verses you must be quoting to yourself every day. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I have been translated to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16:20, which I read before, the God of peace shall put Satan under your feet. John 4:4, greater is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is in you, than he that is in the world, meaning the devil, by calling the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says so. Now, in Luke 10:19, the Lord told us, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over another that one, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you, over all the power. Name it. Whatever I come against you with, you have greater power than that. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Whether I use it or not, it's a different story. How do we use them? By faith. Put them into action by faith, the Lord said. And that's it, you know. And you know what? Each time the Bible says, receive the devil and he will flee. It's God lying. The thing is this. When you receive him, you are still that in your heart, right? Even when Satan is crushing and demons are crushing everything, you are still being afraid, right? And that's what brings him back to come and oppress you again, you know. Just deal with him the way God says you do, and he has no option. Amen?
Amen.
God cannot lie. It is impossible that God should lie. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pray to the Lord Jesus. So exposing the devil and some of that, you know, the devil and some of that, you know, in 1 John 3:8, which I already read for you. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And of course, I read John 16:11. The prince of this world is judged, broken into pieces. You know, and you know, in Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and power, the Lord did, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So that God has wrought for us. And of course, in the Great Commission in Mark 16:17-20, should always be in your lips and in your heart, meditating and so forth upon them, and say to yourself, at this time shall freedom have belief. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And they went for the Bible says, and preach everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, I want to repeat some scripture that I've read before in Hebrews 2:14-15. Just in closing, I want you to really be entrenched in our spirit and soul, that you know. So I want to read Hebrews 2:14-15 again. So remember that Satan doesn't have the power to kill you. I say it again. In fact, he has no power other than the power of deception. See, exposing Satan this morning. That is the power he has. You know, Hebrews 2:14 says so. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, meaning the Lord Jesus himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And the 15th verse says, now that you have fixed this truth in your heart, you are free from the hold of Satan that he had on you before. The 15th verse says, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime fell to the bondage. Now the last which I want to read here this morning, exposing the devil and so forth, as you know, and Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I don't say you go against him in your own word, in your name. It has to be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, so you stand. See? Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins guard with the truth. Like we have been saying this morning, guard your loins with the truth, the word of God, knowing that Satan is being bruised under your feet, knowing that you should go day by day as cart of the stall, and you have been made like arches under the sole of your feet. These are the things you have to be thinking about, and then God back up his word. So your loins guard about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, and like this one, all the fiery darts of the devil, no matter what he comes up with, you know, the sword of the spirit, right? Take with you, sir, the shield of faith. Faith in the word of God, right? The other time we talk about, I think on Wednesday night, real faith, you know, stand alone on the word of God, right? So this morning, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and so no matter what you come up with, the shield of faith and so on, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. So no matter what you caught up with, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are more than conqueror, amen. You are able to overcome all things. That's why he told us all the church ages, he that overcometh, as I also overcame, and through him we are more than conquerors. Praise the Lord Jesus. Satan is a fallen angel. Not even an angel, it's a fallen angel, you know. And even the psalmist writing prophetically in Psalm 20, they are fallen, and we stand upright, you know. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship you, Lord. Oh, what power, what awesome power. The power of the living God. Greater is he, the living God, who is in order, and he that is in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let us march out of this place this morning in this revelation that this wicked or this foe is a defeated foe. And we have seen its end. You know, we remind him this morning of its end. And we know where we belong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is like arches, not the sword of our feet. So therefore, we will be strong in the Lord this morning and the power of his mind. We are called to be overcomers. Our overcomers are we in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking forward, Lord, to rule with you in the ages of ages to come. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, not through you, Lord, we are more than conquerors. So therefore we thank you for blessing us this morning in the reading of your word. Help us to meditate upon these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be therefore glorified in the life of every one of us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.